I'm reminded by that song that God does see and know everything that takes place here on this earth. And that we all must conform to God's Word genuinely. And we cannot hide our sins and be pleasing to God. And for that very fact, we want to do what we can to, while we're here on this earth, to genuinely and with all sincerity believe and trust in God for everything. We're going to look at the last lesson concerning what it means to follow Jesus. As we've looked at a couple of lessons, one about the first part of this and also about commitment to Jesus. And we've seen what that means, that we're going to have to decide to follow Jesus, make a strong commitment to follow Him all the days of our life. And we're also going to explore some more about what it means. And we've looked at our lesson text. The lesson text is the same. From John chapter 10 and verse 27. Here Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." And we're going to look and see what that means. To hear the voice of Jesus, to know Him, and we'll explore what that means. How we can know Jesus and Him recognize us as being His sheep. But also what it means to follow Christ. And I believe Jesus can tell us what it means. It's important for us that we are following Jesus every step of the way that we live in this life. Now, what I want to suggest to you this evening is that following Jesus means we follow Him by obeying Him, by obedience to His Word. We think about what it means to really follow His teachings, follow the direction. You know, when you're following something, you're going the same way. You're on the same page, as it were, that they're going on. And Jesus wants us to follow Him, and I believe that implies the obedience to Him, that we're following Jesus by the very words that He tells. How else could we follow Jesus? You know, we don't have dreams or visions, or God just simply doesn't give it to give us the Word today to follow Him within our hearts, as some might suggest. But I believe the written Word of God, the oracles of God, is how we can follow and know that we're following Jesus every step. And so what we're talking about is the New Testament. The words that Jesus gave while He was here, we call them the red letter words of Jesus, the words that are applicable in the New Testament. We have to rightly divide His words in order to follow Him. And also the words that He wrote to Paul and to Peter and all the others, the inspired men of God. You know, those words are the ones that are going to judge us. Remember what Jesus said while He was here? He said, "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that will judge him." So we must follow Him in order to be pleasing to God in the judgment day. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 26, Jesus spoke here right after He had just gave the Sermon on the Mount. And I believe He wrapped up this sermon, and He did it in such a good way, because what He's doing is, you need to listen to what I've just said to you. You need to take the things that I have spoken to you and add them to your life and apply them and live by the good foundation that is through and by what Jesus taught in His words. Here the Bible says in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of Mine and doeth them." Notice that. There's the hearing and the doing. Those two things you cannot separate. If you just hear only, as James tells us, we're only hearers and not doers. And that's something that God does not want us to do, is simply hear and not obey. Let's begin. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of Mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of Mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." And we know the rest of the story. The rains came, the floods came, descended upon it, just like it did the man who had built upon the rock. It was founded upon the rock. And it was that the man who built on the sand, the Bible tells us that the house fell, and great was the fall of it. And that's, I believe there's an application there. That each one of us, either we're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ and His teachings, His principles, by the very Word of God, or we're building on the sand,
the shifting sands of just whatever the world does, whatever we suit ourselves to do. That's why we have to deny ourselves to follow Jesus. We have to listen to what He submits to every word that He has for us. If we simply say, well, I know it's good and I ought to follow it, that's not obeying God. You know, sometimes good intentions are not enough. We've got to follow through with those intentions. To obey means we carry out what God says. And so there is a carrying out. When we follow Jesus, we obey Him. And what the Bible tells us is that we take the Word of God, and what it says, we do. Where it goes, we go. And when it says not to do something, we listen to Jesus, and we stop doing whatever practice it is that is wrong, that it calls for us to a stopping and repenting of that practice. And so we've got to do what the Word of God says. Listen to Jesus to do that. In John chapter 8, verse 31, here's the connection again to the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know what Jesus is saying here? He's talking to those who believed on Him while He was here, but He wanted them to go beyond belief and follow Him and learn what it means to follow Him by the Word. You know that idea of Eunice, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free? How were they to find the truth? By listening to Jesus, continuing into His words. And that's how you and I've got to. We've got to come where the words of God are spoken. You know, many times at Bible studies, you know, we talk about this. Sometimes people will get tired of Bible studies and they say, well, we study the same old things over and over again. But what that does, it reinforces us. It makes us stronger every time we hear the Word of God being taught in a Bible class. When each sermon by Brother Ward or I, when we preach the Word of God, we're listening to the voice of Jesus. We're continuing in the words. And that ought to make us stronger instead of weaker. Our hearts should be toward the obeying and doing what God says. That's a wonderful thing to follow Him. And that's how we know the truth, and the truth shall make us free, is when we listen to His voice and follow Him by obedience. And that second part of our lesson text, where Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." You know, there's a relationship there. You know, to know Jesus, and He knows us when we obey. You know, God sees our obedience or our disobedience. And He knows who those who are His. The Bible tells us, and Peter tells us, that the Lord knows. The foundation of God is sure that God knows who His people are. The ones who obey Him. And in John chapter 14, verse 23 to 24, the Bible says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love Me, he will keep My words. And My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth Me not, keepeth not My sayings. And the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father which sent Me." So there is a relationship. It's based upon doing the Word of God. When we take the New Testament, we make it our life. The principle, everything we build upon our life. We keep the words of Jesus. We love Him enough to follow His commandments. That begins the relationship. It starts out by belief and obedience to the gospel to become a child of God. But then it doesn't end there. We've got to continue it to the very day we leave this world. Loving God, loving Jesus, and keeping His commandments. Because any time we stop doing that, we don't have that relationship like we should. We have to get back to that relationship by repentance. And continue to listen to what Jesus says. There's people today in the world will tell you, and I've listened to what the religious world says many times. They say it's what you do doesn't matter when it comes to your relationship. That you can have a relationship, but you can still live in sin. You know, whereas you can have your cake and eat it too. They say, well, you know, I know Jesus knows me, and even though I don't do this or I shouldn't do this, but I do it anyway. You know, if we have unrepentant sin in our lives, we've got to get that out because that's something that hinders our relationship between us and God. We've got to know that God knows us. And how do we do this? 1 John chapter 2, I believe, tells us how that is. It says in 1 John 2, verse 3, beginning says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him." What is this idea of knowing Jesus? Know that we're following Him, I believe. Know that we're doing what's right. If we keep His commandments. And I believe that's something that the religious world wants to back away from. That you have to keep the commandments. And really, we do that to our dishonor. We do that to our disservice to ourselves. When we stop obeying the commandments of God, because that's our relationship with God. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. We sustain that relationship when we are doing, we're bearing fruit is what John 15 tells us. And every branch, He told us, that doesn't bear fruit, He purges it. In other words, He cuts it off. And we see how that's something that we don't want, to be cut off from the very vine of Jesus, where there's life, where there is the life of God within us and sustains us in a spiritual way. But He says in verse 4, "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments." John makes it very plain, doesn't he? If we say we know Him, and we keep not His commandments, He is a liar, and the truth is not in Him. And that tells us we've got to know that we're keeping God's commandments. If we're doing one thing, but yet we're saying we do another, what we do is make it lip service. Well, I know I'm not keeping the commandments, but I know the Lord. I've known Him for a long time. I heard a man say that one time. A preacher was saying, "Well, you know, do you know the Lord?" And he said, "Yeah, I've known Him for a long time. But I don't go to church anymore, but I don't really read my Bible anymore. But I know the Lord." But you know, that's what sustains us, is when we read and study and follow, listening to the voice of Jesus. That relationship is there based upon keeping the Word of God itself. In John chapter 10 and verse 5, here you can read about in John chapter 10 about Jesus being the door of the sheepfold. And there were some before Christ who were thieves and robbers, and they did not act good toward the sheep. But in John chapter 10, verse 5, Jesus says, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And we've got to be very careful who we listen to. You know, if we listen to someone other than Jesus, we're not following Him. I won't make that point, because I believe there's a lot of voices out there. A lot of voices that we can follow, and we can do that to the very day we die. And we can miss heaven because we listen to someone other than Jesus when it comes to salvation. And that's dangerous, because Jesus is the only way to salvation. But if someone's teaching error, and we know a lot of the religious world today, very much so, that all of that seems to be going the wrong direction. Because they reject the commandments of God, that they may hold their traditions rather than the true written Word of God. And so we've got to listen to what Jesus says and Him only. In 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, I believe there's a warning there. I believe Peter's talking about a time that we're living right now because of the apostasy. And he says here, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." Now, what is that idea of a heresy there? Something that's not true. Especially the fact what describes that heresy. Something that's going to cause people to be lost because they follow it. And heresy is a choice. And we don't really have a choice. There's one truth. If we follow something other than that one truth, then we are not following Jesus' voice anymore. But it says, "Even denying the Lord that bought them." Now, how could someone follow Jesus when they deny the very one who bought us from the very depths of sin? You know, the Lord's the only salvation we have. But there were evidently some who were denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." I believe we live in times today where the truth, those who practice and follow the truth, are evil spoken of, and many are going the wrong way. And it's up to us to get people back to listening to Jesus. That's why we want book, chapter, and verse. That's why we want to be able to put our finger on the verse and say, "Well, this is what the Bible says," rather than what preachers say or pastors say. We need to listen to what Jesus says. And when you can read what Jesus said, like, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," we should take what Jesus says rather than any some man. Even Peter says we ought to obey God rather than men. And that gets back to what we're not to follow. We talk about these voices that we're not to follow. We're not to follow the commandments and doctrine and creeds of men that originate from man. Those things that follow man's way rather than God's way. In Matthew 15, verse 9, Jesus said here about these Jews who were doing things their way and not God's way. They didn't have what you might say Bible authority for what they were doing. They made up their own traditions. Doesn't that sound like today, where people want to follow their own traditions? I believe this verse applies to what we see in the religious world today, even so much as it did back then. Men have not changed. But Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And how's that different? Well, when we listen to Jesus' voice, Jesus tells us what to do to be saved. Tells us how to follow Him, how to live our lives, conduct our lives. And men have things, they've added things. They've taken away certain things that should be there in the Gospels. Like the Gospel of baptism, the doctrine of baptism, and following Christ, the one true church. All of that is what they have taken away from the Scriptures. And they've added their own ways to serve God. When we get back to following God, it's the only way. Matthew 7, verse 23, I believe, is talking about those who have left God. And Matthew 7, I want to go back up to verse 21, just kind of tell you what that says, because most of us know this verse. It says, Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. For many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works? And verse 23 tells us, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Remember what Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But here Jesus is talking to some people who say they know the Lord. They're calling Him Lord. But why is it they don't have the same relationship as Jesus talking about His sheep? Because they're doing things without Bible authority. That's why we stress that so much. You know, you won't hear lessons about Bible authority in the denominational churches of men today. Because without Bible authority, you know, when you start out on a road of leaving Bible authority behind, you don't want to talk about speaking as the oracles of God, because some people recognize that we've left that far behind us and no longer speaking as the oracles of God. But here Jesus said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. How sad that would be to hear Jesus say to those who profess to follow Him, that they will have to leave Him, depart from Him. But if we want to be saved, we must listen to Jesus. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate? The Bible tells us that He had said He was here to become a king. It says, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's what this church here needs to do, is to hear the voice of Jesus. Because everyone is of the truth needs to listen and hear what Jesus has to say. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, why that is such is because Jesus, being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. And like we said before, some say our works don't matter, what we do in religion. They're afraid of that word do. But Jesus says, I'm going to save you based upon your obedience to my words. And also, following Jesus means we follow Him to worship. You know, Jesus will lead us to that way. You know, Jesus was big on prayer. He would say that He was one who was very committed to prayer. He would go up on the mountaintop to pray. And He would go and worship in the synagogue because He was under the Old Testament. But when the New Testament came, we follow God like Jesus predicted here. In John chapter 4, verse 23 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers... Well, they had worshipped God in the Old Testament. But now He's talking about true worshipers. Worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What that means is what we're doing tonight. has to be done in spirit and in truth. Like we did this morning, take the Lord's Supper, singing praises to God, having preaching, listening to the Word of God. And all that are giving to God the sacrifice, the fruit of our lips, praising His name. All of that is worship to God. And God wants you to build your life around that. You know, I would think it would be sad if someone obeys the gospel and say, well, I don't feel the need to go to church. I don't feel the need that I really have to go to worship God. But some also have the attitude like this. I get to worship God. That I love to go and sing His praises. You know, either you're putting your heart into it. I believe that's what Jesus is saying in spirit there. That we're putting our heart into our service. That we're doing it acceptably, worshiping God with our spirit. But also in truth. Both of those have to be there. Do the right things in the right way as God prescribes His worship to be. And that's something we do when we listen to God. Listen to Jesus. Is that He leads us to worship Him the right way. Because after the early church was founded on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, and in verse 41, the Bible says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly. Notice that. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Why did they do that? Because they were led by Jesus, the apostles' doctrine, to worship God in spirit and in truth. We've got to learn that worship's not something we just do to occupy a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, but it's our life to serve God. It is what we do because we make it our life. We either enjoy coming to services. You know, there's some who enjoy, they get up in the morning and they look forward to coming to being. I know that that's the case because that's something that we, every time the doors of the church open, we want to be here. Because Jesus is here. What the Bible says, that where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst of them. I believe God sees our worship. And we must worship Him in spirit and truth every time. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27, He's talking about us here. Those of the New Testament age. He says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God. And that word serve can also mean worship. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know what He's saying here? Is that when we come to services and worship, we ought to be thankful that we're in the kingdom of God. That we're on Sunday morning worshiping Him in spirit and in truth the way the Bible directs and teaches us to do. Jesus wants us to be here. And why wouldn't we want to be anywhere else than where the saints of God are when we're assembling together? But I would suggest to you tonight also that following Jesus means we're going to have to suffer in order to follow Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21-23, here the Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know what the Bible says here? We're going to follow Jesus. Even Paul says, yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's something we're called to. You know, that happens many times when we stand up for Christ. We'll be mocked and ridiculed and even maybe said things to make us feel like we're less than a person in this world. But yet when we do those things, we ought to count, when we suffer through those things, I should say, that we should feel like we are partaking of the sufferings of Christ, just a small amount, because Christ suffered a whole lot more than we ever did. The Bible teaches us about His suffering. But here in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount again, Jesus says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In other words, if you're living a right life and you are suffering and being persecuted for that, then you ought to be happy or blessed for that. It says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, you can know you're on the right track when you are suffering for the very cause of Christ. When friends walk away from you because they love sin. When friends will do things that really they shouldn't do, because now you're a child of God, a Christian. And I say, if a friend walks away because you're a child of God, then they were not a friend in the first place. Then also in verse 11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. That's what we have to do. Our burden is to suffer with God and with Christ. In Romans chapter 8, here's another passage about this. It says, you know, the reason why we suffer, but there's an end, there's a reason why we suffer. It says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One day we're going to see the end of that. The goal of walking with Christ, following His name. And following Jesus means eternal life. You know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 27, 28. I want to conclude this with verse 28. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But look at the last part of that verse. Verse 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, if you're following Christ, if you're doing everything this good book tells you to do, to the best of your ability, you are secure in the hand of Jesus. I'm not saying you can't fall, because that does and can happen. What I'm saying is, Christ will give you eternal life, the reward of the righteous, if we do and say what's right. If you're here this evening, you're not a child of God. We know there's times that people need to start out on the road to follow Jesus. And that we need to learn what that means to start out. It starts out by faith in Jesus Christ. You've got to believe who Jesus said He was. He was the Son of God. Believe it, repent of all your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and be baptized and follow Him everywhere. Follow Him to the river of baptism. Like John the Baptist baptized before Christ came, then Christ, He gave the great commission for us to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter followed the teachings of Christ and taught them by inspiration. When they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You desire to follow Jesus, then why don't you let it be known as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.